This episode is sponsored by Policy Genius. As moms who are busy, Catherine has been talking about this, we have so much going on and often we overlook protecting our financial future. We've got careers and kids and spreadsheets and all the things. And so 72% of Americans actually overestimate the actual cost of life insurance. But life insurance is a vital part of your financial wellness. And that's why I appreciate Policy Genius, because they make finding and buying life insurance simple. They make sure that your loved ones have the financial safety net they can use in case something happens to you, whether that's covering debts or routine expenses, or even to invest the money and earn interest over time. You can compare quotes from top insurers and find coverage that fits your needs and your budgets. See if Policy Genius can help you find 20-year life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. I feel like it's such a great option to have Policy Genius help you compare getting different quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks. You can even talk to their team of licensed agents. They'll walk you through the process step by step. They'll answer your questions, handle paperwork, advocate for you. They lay out your options so clearly, the coverage amounts, the terms, the prices. There's no guesswork. Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. They have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. If you want to head over to policygenius.com, you can compare life insurance quotes and get the coverage you need. Because being financially protected, that's the ultimate self-care. Again, that's policygenius.com. Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, number 549, I'm welcoming to the show Ashley Surratt.
Well, I can't speak to how much vision you have over this girl that you're always trying to like reinvent yourself to be. The fact of the matter is, she is pretend and she does not experience God. You do, like the version of you right now. And so many times when I feel like that voice in my head, tomorrow we're getting in a better routine and we're wearing matching jammies at night and we're not sleeping in our mascara, that pep talk I have given myself, I have to be like, okay, but she is not real. I right now, in this second day old mascara, that is real. I experience God right here, right now. I get to see my kids laugh. I get to like make them their meals. Like, the richness of life is for this version of me, and I would completely miss out if I'm like spending so much time dreaming of this ideal version of myself.
Ashley studied music education, was a director of worship at a local church, and is now the mom of three young kids, and become popular on Instagram and TikTok for using the term type C mom. What is a type C mom? Well, we're going to get all into that in this episode, but my hope is that it encourages you to maybe let go of the pursuit of perfection in areas that don't actually matter to you, but if you feel like you need to hold to be a quote unquote good mom, and that you can lean into those things that do matter. And if you want to do them really well, do them really well. It's this great mix of type A and type B moms. And my hope is in doing so and doing the work to figure out what really matters to you, you don't sacrifice your own mental health or your connection with your kids, but you can thrive in those areas. I also love that Ashley has her own podcast called The Ashley Surratt Show that we've linked in the show notes, where she really focuses in on some of these topics, like what does a bedtime routine look like when you're a type C mom? What is it like to be married to someone who's a type C mom? All that, again, in the show notes. But let's get right to our conversation. Here we go. Ashley, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. This is going to be so fun.
I told you when you got on the screen that I was like, where were you when I had young kids? Because I felt so much shame for how I was wired. It just felt like every other mom was getting it right, and I was just a hot mess. And yet I also had like really intentional goals and ways I wanted to raise my kids. And I was doing those things, but it just was a little bit less polished.
And I get it.
You're just so raw and real and relatable. And I think It's such a gift. So
thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate that, Heather.
Yeah. I mean, the key, if y'all don't know Ashley already, I will tell you is, did you coin this term or was this around, the type C mom?
Okay. So interesting question. The short answer is yes, I did make it up. The long answer is, but technically there is a type C personality, but it's not what I'm describing. So in terms of the way I portray type C, it's something I did make up.
Okay. And y'all, if you don't even know what's type, what are we talking about? Let's just like type A in my mind. You want to say what you think it is?
Yeah, I would say it's just like very organized, very polished. I guess I hate the term put together, but like you would say put together.
They know where everything is and every like they're on top of every email.
Yeah.
They're the ones calling you to remind you, be like, hey, did you fill out that form for that thing?
Mm-hmm. Not an ounce of procrastination. Not an ounce.
And they might be listening and we love you. That is not
shame. I pray on the every type night, God, give me a type A friend. My life is lacking one. It really is. So no qualms, no hate, only love. Only love towards type A moms, truly.
Do you think type A moms befriend type C? I mean, I have some now, I guess.
I would say I do. I do think so because I can be a little type A presenting at times. I would think that if you meet me in the carpool drop-off line and you don't peek into my van, you might think I'm type A if you don't look. If you're just like chatting with me through the window, you know what I mean?
Just like shoulder up.
Yeah, like my kids match. They have a very organized lunchbox, well-balanced. I'm dressed, hair done. You know what I'm saying? So it's like – I might bamboozle you in that way. You might think I'm type A and be my friend.
Totally. And I can get in those conversations with those moms and be like, yes, did you see the latest article on blah, 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 blah? And we really need to read this many minutes, this many days. Like, I know all the things we should be doing.
Right. 100%. Yep. We both have a little type A in our blood. We do.
Mm-hmm. And then the type B, let's define that.
Type B is, I guess, just the opposite of type A. She or he is just a little chaotic.
But B, I feel like, differs from C in that they really, truly don't care and they really don't have like a measure that they're trying to match up to. They are just living their most authentic, unhinged selves.
I think so. I think what makes a type B person type B, and granted, I'm not going to cite my sources. There are no sources. This is just my opinion, is their house could be a mess and it's not going to make them think blurrier. You know, it's not really going to bother them. It's just going to be like, well, I'll find it. I'm sure it's in here somewhere. And it's not like, oh, I can't think straight, you know? Or I think if you're type A or like in my case, type C, it is going to bother you a little bit.
Yeah.
It's going to fluster you a tad.
So then that type C in your mind is the combo of the two.
It's the combo of two.
What else do you want to say about type C?
Type C is just where you can be type A, like full send type A about some things, and then full send type B about other things. And they just coexist in the same breath, in the same minute, in the same home, in the same van. You know, like it's just all of it all together at once.
And if you all need examples, I was going to pull up your latest post. Maybe you already have it memorized. The different examples you gave were so great. Here's an example. My kids eat off non-toxic stainless steel plates, but drink blue Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Running late, but packed club crackers, clementines, carrots for us to share for breakfast. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Deep clean the bathroom, but never got around to putting the cleaning supplies away. This is so, so, so relatable. I am classic, like start a project and I do not finish the thing.
It's hard. I feel like I say this almost twice a week and be like, hey, by the way, talking to my husband, I deep clean fill in the blank. I organize fill in the blank. And then I always follow it up with, but you can't tell. Because unfortunately, you can't tell I fold all the laundry because I actually rearranged our entire closet all at the same time. So there's like a fresh mess out. But the laundry is put away. You are welcome. You know, it's like, I did it.
Give me some credit. Like, yeah. This one, serious puzzle storage system, but not serious enough to keep up with all the pieces. So there's a bag that says missing one piece.
I was not going to toss the whole puzzle. It was a great puzzle. But I don't want everybody to be like, you know, that's so funny because we had my grandparents over who are just like, you know, they are type A, I would say. Yeah. And we were doing puzzles and that puzzle came out. It was missing a piece. They finished it and they were convinced they were going to find that piece. They were like, I felt so bad. They were like bending over trying to look under my couch for the missing piece. And I kept being like, I'm really sure I lost it 3 moves ago. It is not in this home. It is not in this city. I haven't seen it. And they're like, I'm sure it's just with the other pieces. I'm like, not the way I live. It's just not.
Oh, I mean, this is so real. Okay. Vacuumed my car, but took out none of the stuff. Like all of the socks and the sippy cups and the.
I genuinely enjoy having anything I could possibly ever need or want or desire in my car all at once. Yeah. It's very handy. I've tried to be clean in the car sense and it always leaves me high and dry. I'm always somewhere needing a spare sock, a spare shoe. It's not there. Yeah. So I've learned I'll get rid of the crumbs. I actually vacuum my car once a week. It surprises people. I do not take anything out ever, ever, ever. I love it all inside.
It's just so real and so great. Like, okay, so we've kind of defined this type C. Is there anything else you would say about a type C?
I don't think so. I think that's just what it is. Super type A, super type B all at the same time.
Like wanting calm, wanting organization, but never quite achieving it.
I posted a reel recently and one of like the little bits in the skit I was doing was I said, you know, starting tomorrow, we're going to get into a better routine. And so many people, that one really struck a chord with a lot of women. They were like, I say that every day. And I'm like, I've been saying that every day since college. It started with my studying schedule. Starting tomorrow, I'm locking down. It's like been 15 years. Tomorrow, you know, I'm locking it down. And so I think that it does not, to me, highlight that we're not locked down, that we're not doing a great job. That's not what it points out. To me, it just points out that there's a part of us that does like a little more order, a little more peace, a little absence of chaos. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're doing a bad job. It's just that we do like it. We can't just like say, oh, we don't mind our mess, you know, because we do mind it a little bit.
Yeah. And beyond even the mess, like a lot of these are about doing the right thing with your kids, doing educational activities, like making sure, you know, you have the puzzles and you have like all of these things that you know are good for them.
Like I care. I really care.
Yeah. You really care. Okay. But how old are your kids now?
4, 2.5, and 9 months.
Oh my gosh. My last interview right before you was 4, 3, and 4 months. Like,
oh, no way.
Y'all are just right in it. It brings back all the feels, really. I'm like,
really?
Like a little bit of like, oh, they were so sweet, but also, oh my gosh, they all wanted me all the time and I was so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So when did you discover, like, was it by the second kid? Like, was it from the get-go when you had your first baby? When did you realize, oh, this really describes me?
That's an interesting question because I would say I wrestled with the like incompatibility of being really organized and really disorganized for, I would say, up until recently, until my third was born. Truly, I started the whole like type C mom thing this April. And I would say that it's pretty new. And that would probably be when I came to like fully be like, I love both of these sides at the same time. Prior, I just felt honestly just confused about it.
Yeah.
Like I just, my husband would be like, you're the most organized, disorganized person I've ever met. And I would be like, but like, what does that mean? I don't like, huh? I don't know anybody who is disorganized and organized at the same time. Like, you know, and that's not even true. I actually knew almost everybody. So many people. I would say the majority of women are disorganized and organized. Just it depends on what it is and if what they care about, right?
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until my third baby, I realized that I'm going to just full send on the things that matter to me and the things that are like not super important to me. I've given to God, I've released it, and I'm not going to lose sleep over it, and I'm not going to be embarrassed about it.
I love that. Yeah. It's kind of like the lazy genius, being genius about what matters and lazy about what doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if y'all hear sweet baby cooing, that is the most amazing sound ever, and we're going to keep it in here because I love it so much. Ashley's sweet baby is teething.
She's at my ankles right now. She's teething.
And she does not want to nap. It's great.
She doesn't. She said she'd like to join us today. So,
hey, her first podcast.
It's her first podcast.
Thank you for joining us on this exclusive interview with Ashley's baby. Listen to her coo. I love it. This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Honey Love. And moms, if we're talking about being a type C mom, maybe you're a little type B about your bras, okay? And it's time, okay? The holidays are here. We've got fun things to go to, parties, lots of outfits to pull together, and you need an upgrade, okay? Let me be the one to tell you. Because probably the one you've been wearing is barely hanging on and it's uncomfortable and it's not staying in place while you're wearing that cute holiday top. And so you need to get yourself something comfortable, soft, lightweight, and supportive. And that's Honey Love. You'll actually forget that you are wearing it. And whether you have some family trips or you're running around in cozy layers and watching Christmas movies, you are going to want to try Honey Love. I'm telling you, it is the most comfortable bra. I forget I'm wearing it. I often wear it under my pajamas before I go to bed since I'm around my teen boys. And their best-selling crossover bra is going to become your new go-to. It is specifically designed so that there's back-smoothing fabric to prevent the old bra bulge, and also just technology to kind of support you without having underwire, which I love. And it's not a shelf-like bra, so you don't get this uniboob effect. They also have a new Cloud Embrace bra, which is sold out in just days. It's a modern wireless t-shirt bra with light padded foam cups. It feels so good against your skin. And don't forget, they don't just have bras. Honey Love has shapewear, tanks, leggings, just as comfortable, just as supportive. You all know I love their best-selling Superpower Short. And if you have a cute dress you want to wear this holiday season, definitely grab their Superpower Short because it is going to target right where you need it to target and compress where you need it to, and then be flexible where you don't. It's like the type C mom shapewear. Treat yourself or someone special to the most comfortable and innovative bras on earth this holiday season. Save 20% off site-wide at honeylove.com/DMA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/DMA. After you purchase, they're going to say, where did you hear about them? Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Celebrate the season feeling confident and comfortable with Honey Love. Okay, I agree with you that this is not just something that Heather and Ashley deal with. This is not something that we're so weird and screwed up and we've got to fix it, because I bet a lot of moms are nodding. They probably even clicked to listen to this episode because they're like, that is me. So one, I would say a challenge would be to even just get over the fact, like stop pushing against it. I also heard you say, like, figure out what matters to you. How did you, what would you say, like, what are challenges moms face and how can we help her?
Yeah, I would say the first thing that really like helped me understand that this is not something I want to fight against anymore is, it's going to be really cliche, so here it is, it's comparing myself. There's no way you are going to care about, you know, the 10 things that the mom that you follow online is going to care about. I probably do not care about the same 10 things that you care. You know, there's just no way that we all care about the same things. So you might have to close the app. You might have to close the app and figure out, like, what the questions I ask myself are, what do I actually enjoy doing with my kids? Whenever like I leave the house and my husband's watching our kids, what's the one thing I'm like, babe, but you gotta, you know, fill in the blank, you know, like, don't skip over, you know, like that is,
it shows your priorities. Yeah.
It shows your priorities.
Safety. Mine was a big safety.
Yeah. That's
pay
so
attention
fair.
To them. Don't lose one at the park.
Right. Yeah. What my kids watch, not duration. I've given their screen time to God, the screen content I do care deeply about, you know?
Yeah.
And so just kind of just taking inventory and being like, what do I really care about? And then choosing to not feel bad about like full sending. So like for another thing for me is what my kids eat. I do care that they eat a vegetable and fruit every day. And they have blue Kool-Aid. They do have dyes, you know, but it's not the absence of bad stuff. It's just the presence of, like, I do want them to have something nutritional. Mm-hmm. And then just getting clear about that, what matters to you.
Yeah.
How do you like to play with your kids? This was a big one for me. I obviously care about quality time, but I don't want to play mommy baby. I don't want to play horsey. You know, like there are certain games I do not want to play. And I have to figure out like, how do I actually like to play with my kids? And then once you kind of have a better idea of you as a person, the way that God created you, the way God created your kids, where you're like, where your likes align, where your like play styles align, what you care about, you know, fill in the blank. Then it's a little bit easier to embrace the type B-ness because you like, you can be proud of that type A part of you that you've like been intentional about.
So good. We talked about like how sometimes the messes can overwhelm us. That's why we know that we have that type A. How do you kind of deal with that challenge that we can't be fully like, whatever, I'll just leave this here because it's affecting our ability to have peace? Like, I've seen videos where you're just like sweeping up all the toys.
Mm-hmm.
What are some tips for maybe a type C mom who gets so overwhelmed by messes?
Yeah. So the two systems that we have in our house that I think work the best is, first off, I walked around our house when it was at its worst. And I just like started noticing what the patterns were. Like, where are the toys and where aren't the toys? Is there a place that the toys just never happen to be? And where are they? Same with clothes. Gosh, where are the clothes? Why are they downstairs so much? You know, like figuring out and then just creating absolute catch-alls in the places that they tend to be. So like in every room of our house, we have a bucket. Some of them are really beautiful and some of them are really hideous. But nonetheless, there is a bucket in every single room that things can go in.
She has some thoughts.
So,
she likes that
that's
idea.
Right. And she's always cleaning out my buckets for me. Dumping them back out.
When you say buckets, I'm picturing like a cleaning bucket. Do you mean like a basket?
Some of them are baskets. Okay. That's what I was saying. Like some of them are like these beautiful wicker baskets I got from Target. Some of them have lids. And then some of them are just genuinely just like those big Tupperware.
Okay.
Like just clear, giant, that you'd maybe like put like
a bin.
Clothes in. Like a big old bin. Yeah. So things can get off the floor if things need to get off the floor. That helps. This one, I also like, I hate saying out loud because I remember receiving this and it took me a couple years to finally give it a try. Is honestly just, I don't let my kids really own a lot of clothes. They have probably about, I would say, 7 functioning outfits the week, 1 bathing suit, and then they have a couple like extra beautiful dresses. And so I feel like they don't fight me on it. They're, like I said, they're very young and they like their 7 outfits, and that forces me to do laundry. The image I have in my head is if I dumped out every single piece of clothing that I own for my kids. So what is that? 21 outfits, 3 kids times 7. Am I doing my math right?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Yep.
Would I be overwhelmed if I had to clean up 21 outfits off the floor? I would feel a touch overwhelmed. Not that much though. I would feel like I would feel empowered. And if that's the worst it can ever get, then that's great, you know? And so there are definitely times that all 21 of those clothes are on the ground or they're all dirty, but it's doable for me because it's just 21. It's just 21.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. I mean, my boys, even as teenagers, like, thankfully they're not girls. But I mean, they maybe have 2 nice things they wear to church on rotation, some shorts, some we've never really had a ton of clothes. Now they get to do their own laundry. Ashley, they do their own laundry. It's amazing.
Ooh,
I mean, they may not fold it. It may just end up in a basket, but I don't care.
That's
I'm
okay.
Not doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole like figure out where your biggest areas of mess are and like what's a good system for you is so huge. And I remember for me, like the chaos of getting everyone's socks and shoes on was such a big deal. And we have a 2-story house. Must be nice. And it wasn't nice when they were little because it was like an extra 30 minutes to get them to go upstairs, get their socks, find shoes. So I was like, why are we keeping socks upstairs? The laundry was upstairs, but I could like have individual drawers for each boy, like those plastic drawers from Container Store. I went to Container Store and I got 4 different bins and I made sure each kid had a different color. So you get green, you get red, you get blue, you get orange. And then I bought different types of socks for each boy. So you get Nike, you get Under Armour.
Oh, that's smart.
So they didn't mix them up. They weren't like, I don't have any socks. It's like, you all get – and I kept them downstairs. So when it was time to get socks and shoes on, it's like, your socks are all downstairs, and the shoes were in a bin downstairs. Like, we just take them off and we put them in the bin downstairs so they're not lost. Like, it's what you're talking about. It's having a system for our own chaos that was causing me so much stress and problem solving for that. Not everybody needs that solution, but that worked in our cuckoo-cachoo home.
Right. So, no, I get it. And the thing is, it's not, it's obviously not rocket science. What makes it feel like, what makes it feel like rocket science is the subconscious belief that my shoes have to go in the closet. It doesn't sound like a glaring limiting belief that's like holding me back in life. But could it be?
But it, you know? Yeah, or that all shoes, like all socks have to go upstairs. All
right.
Like I would keep their uniforms down here and had each boy's uniform with like a little hang tag separated. So when they woke up in the morning, they could just come down and get dressed downstairs versus – anyway,
yeah,
it's knowing your systems, knowing what works, setting yourself free. Let's talk about how type C moms often feel like they're trying to keep the peace, but end up feeling drained. We kind of talked about this. Like, what kind of pressure do you see we kind of put on ourselves? You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, something I've noticed is a lot of people who like would say that they're type C moms are. There's a handful of it, but most of it is moms who were type A growing up, and then they had children or children in a job or even a kid, and their world was just a little rattled. And
they
now
their limits, yeah.
And now their type A-ness, like it just can't be. You can't be type A about everything. Mm. And so there's a lot of us, and this is my story too, who are learning to let go and embrace the part that they have to let go because you physically cannot do it all. And then obviously I have a couple of friends who would say they're type C moms, but it's the opposite. They're type B. They've always been super, you know, woo, I don't care. You know, living by the, you know, what is this?
Easy going.
Yeah. Easy going. But then they had kids and it's like, okay, well now we do have to get to school on time. You know, now
there's like an outside force. That's like,
there's an, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that kind of invites them into being a little bit more type A about certain things. And so I guess no matter where you're coming from, there you are having to change a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. You are having to continually reconcile with these extremeness, the always the longing for wanting to get into a better routine the next day. Yeah. And just to camp out on that feeling is there's this idea of your ideal self that is either more type A or more type B, whatever it is. And I have found that is one of the sneakiest idols we as believers can run into because it feels almost like an invitation to be better, to be holier. But when we spend so much time thinking about this ideal version of ourselves, gently I say, that's idolatry. You're
spending more time and energy on that than on God.
Right? Than on God.
Yeah.
And this ideal version of yourself, whether she is where God is leading you to be closer, like more like this person or not, I don't know. I can't speak to how much vision you have over this girl that you're always trying to like reinvent yourself to be. The fact of the matter is she is pretend and she does not experience God. You do. Like the version of you right now. And so many times when I feel like I'm that voice in my head, tomorrow we're getting in a better routine and we're wearing matching jammies at night and we're not sleeping in our mascara, that pep talk I have given myself, I have to be like, okay, but she is not real. I right now in this second day old mascara, that is real. I experience God right here, right now. I get to see my kids laugh. I get to like make them their meals. Like the richness of life is for this version of me. And I would completely miss out if I'm like spending so much time dreaming of this ideal version of myself that is not, it's just, she's just not real.
That's so good. Yeah. You're freeing some people today, Ashley.
Thank God. I hope so.
This episode is brought to you thanks to Green Chef. Now, y'all, we're talking about focusing on what you actually care about. And this holiday season, with all that's going on, I know your people want to eat, but maybe you don't want to be the one to do all the meal planning and doing all the shopping, and you'd rather focus on other things that matter more to you, like making memories and sitting around the table. But you're also a mom who really cares about what food you eat. Let me introduce you to Green Chef, because they are the number one meal kit for clean eating. And if, as you're heading into the new year, maybe you have some new habits that you want to form, this is the time. They are going to help support your wellness journey. They have fresh, organic, seasonal produce, 100% responsibly sourced protein. I'm telling you, these kits come with actual food, and they come with a great recipe card. So it makes it super easy for you to make it. Maybe you involve your kids in the process. You want them to see how healthy food is made. They have 80 plus dietitian approved weekly meal options. So if you are wanting to eat Mediterranean, which is what I'm supposed to be doing, gluten-free, plant-based, protein-heavy, even gut and brain health or calorie smart choices, they have that for you over at Green Chef. These recipes change every week and you have flexibility. If you need to, if you're going to be gone for a week and you don't want to get the meals, that you can block that out. Or maybe you have it sent to wherever you're going. I've had that before where I have it delivered and I take it with us on our trip, which made getting to where we were going so much easier. I think you should try this out if you haven't. I've done it. It's such a great option. Make this fall your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Head to greenchef.com/50alone. So it's the number 50 and then alone spelled out, all caps. So greenchef.com/50alone. Use the code 50alone to get 50% off your first month and then 20% off for the next 2 months with free shipping. That's code 50alone at greenchef.com/50alone. I always love when a show is sponsored by Thrive Cosmetics, because it's so easy to talk about something that hits so many things that are important to me. One is they have great products that actually work, which I'll tell you about one of my favorites. Two, they use clean ingredients. So if you, like me, are a mom that you're trying your best to clean up the products you bring into your home, Thrive Cosmetics is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and they have clean, skin-loving ingredients that are going to work with your skin and not against it. And then, bonus, bonus, Thrive is called Thrive because they give back. They donate products and funds to help communities thrive. They've given over $150 million in product and cash donations to over 600 giving partners. So when you buy products that you love, that work really well, that are clean, you also are giving back. And I love all of that. Now, I've told you so often about my Liquid Lash Extensions mascara that I use every day, even days where that's the only thing I use. Make sure you have tried that out. Definitely ask for it for Christmas. It's a great stocking stuffer. When your family is putting together your mom's stocking, get the Liquid Lash Extension mascara. I'm also going to tell you about something else, because I'm going to talk about other things I love so you know about them. The Brilliant Eye Brightener. I use this when I'm putting on my full makeup look, and it is so great because it's waterproof and it's an eyeshadow highlighter stick. So it looks like a pencil, basically. It's a little thicker pencil, and I use it in the corner of my eyes to make brighten and open them up, and I kind of use like a eyeshadow brush to kind of blend it in. It gives me such a little radiant eye, and it's great, especially as you're heading into the holidays. It's a foolproof formula. It is so easy to use. They have 32 different shades. I use like a lighter, not white, but like a champagne color on mine. Go check those out. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/DMA for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/DMA. Let's talk too about where God meets us in that overwhelm that we might feel as a type C mom. Like if we would actually invite him into that, in that feeling of like, yes, we've got the ideal version of ourselves and we need to let her go.
Yeah.
But then in the reality of a 4-year-old, the 2-year-old, the 9-month-old, the chaos, the wanting things to be a way and they're not that way in this season, like, have you had moments where you've like maybe heard God say like, Ashley, this, like, How has he met you in the midst of that place?
I think the most like obvious one would be like when you're at the end of your rope, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, I just need a break. I just need a second. The story I'm going to share is coming to mind because this was this morning.
Okay.
And
best kind of stories happen.
Right. That's fresh. And I think that there are so many times as moms, you are like sharing a message with your kids and you're like halfway through this beautiful speech and you're like, oh, maybe this was for me too. Maybe I should be also tuning into this lesson that is coming out of my mouth. And maybe we all are repenting this morning.
Yeah.
And we're all finding the refreshment that comes from being like, that was not my best. And I think that in the book of Acts 2, it talks about like repentance brings refreshment. And so many times I think I like gloss over that as a mom because you're just, my mind is in teaching mode. It's not in being wrong mode, to say that humbly, right? And when I'm literally this morning telling my daughter that she's going to feel so much better if she just tells my son that it wasn't her best to smack him square across the face. That wasn't her best move. There is a better way to handle the situation. You know, I was like, oh man, I'm literally trying to like dangle the refreshment that comes from being wrong in front of her face, being like, please, you want it. And I was like, the way that I raised my voice this morning, the way that I was so snappy with my husband this morning, and like, could I not have just been like, hey, sorry, that was not my best. Like I did not mean to be like that this morning. And then gotten to have the benefit of like that deep breath that God gives. It's, you know, one of his common graces that we all get that deep breath after we apologize. Mm-hmm. I think that like so many times my own good is revealed to me. Things that could be better for me is revealed to me through me parenting. when I'm really also parenting myself as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bringing to mind a moment with my first grader where the teacher called me about his meltdown, but then it was like a little sermon to me. He was a first grader. So that's what, seven. So I had like 7, 5, 3, and 1 year old. And she's like, he was really upset because he was falling behind on the phonics drill or whatever it was.
Okay.
And she's like, and I just told him, you know, God never expects us to be perfect. He just expects us to do the best that we can. And I'm thinking, I have all these kids. I'm literally doing the best that I can. Can that be enough? Like, yeah. If I could do better, I would do better. I know myself. Like, I'm going to push myself to do the best that I can. And it, right now, this is my best, and it's going to be a little clunky. And can I allow that? Can I just like rest in that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's some things like it's this time old what is the saying? I keep trying to use sayings and then I don't even know them. Tale as old as time. Whatever. You're going to get what I'm saying. It's the old principle, right?
Yes.
Of like we have to receive the kingdom of God like a child. Mm-hmm. We have to make ourselves like a child.
Yeah.
And this is such a unique time in motherhood because we are around kids. Some people have careers and kids and they will be around kids forever and ever and ever. But a lot of women, they are primarily around kids from like when their kids are like, you know, 0 to 18. And then you're going to have to go seek kids out, you know, to have them.
Not in a weird way.
I hope you didn't hear it in a strange way, but you are like, there's going to have to be a little more scheduling around it, you know, but not me and you, Heather, we are around kids every single day. And if that's the way they are our example of how we're supposed to receive the kingdom of God, like, oh my gosh, we are so lucky. Like every day we just get to open our eyes and we get to learn the lessons that either we or their teachers are teaching alongside of them. You know, like, this is, while it is so hard and it is so clunky, it is like, it's such a opportunity to get to be around kids if they are an example on how to receive God's kingdom.
Yeah. So good. Can we take a second and talk about how our type C-ness affects relationships? You've kind of mentioned it with your husband and we started off by saying, I need a type A friend, but like, how do we maybe communicate needs or kind of live alongside or, you know, invite others in, like, do you find moms are more drawn to you because of your type, C-ness? I don't know. I'm asking like seven different questions. So you know which right. one you okay. like of those questions.
So I would say my type C-ness was definitely, it was for sure an obstacle in me and my husband's marriage at first until we were able to like really put language around it, because it was so it was just really confusing that there would be things that I really cared about that he didn't, and vice versa. I mean, I would say he's a type C dad, you know?
Yeah.
Like bedtime was a huge one for us. He really cares about bedtime. And as he would say, I abuse bedtime. There is no bedtime for me. We go to sleep when we feel it in our souls. It's time to sleep, you know? It's like, it's all on feelings. And he had a really hard time with that. And it caused, honestly, a lot of fights.
Yeah. Well, because he's probably thinking, once they're all asleep, I get you. Like he exactly. wants to bring with you. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if we make a bedtime, then we're like, we're signing ourselves up for like resistance. Why would I want to do that? You know, like, why don't we just wait till 10 when they're tired and then it's going to be like 5 minutes tops.
And then they just, know? Yeah. Did yours not like get more revved up?
No, but you know what? I always am like, never take a sleep advice from me because yeah. my kids' sleep is so cattywampus. It's not like anything I've ever seen before. They stay up late. They drop their naps at 9 months. Like it's just different here.
Okay. Just different. I just remember like cuckoo ka-choo, you want to talk about that. It would be at 9 p.m. with any of them. They were just like, and they would wake up even earlier the next day. I was like, this See? Is the worst.
Everybody says that. That's not my experience at all.
That's amazing. I think that's amazing.
So
I think like you do you, boo.
Listen to it. Thank yeah. you. Thank yeah. you.
But it is hard when you differ. Like if it works for you, but it's not working for your spouse because he wants to spend time with you kid free. Yeah.
Right.
That. Yeah.
So that was hard. And so I actually recently did a podcast with him, and it's called Being Married to a Type C Mom. And we just talked about how the heck we figured it out, like with being like just having like really caring about something and really not caring about others. And they don't ever line up. friendship wise, I'll be honest. I feel like I'm in a really tender place with friendship right now. I just moved to a new city and it's like, it's time to start over. It's time to make friends, all while having a mom, being a mom, having a job, you know, like it can be difficult to make friends, especially like I work from home. So it's not like I have like coworkers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think when it comes to being a type C mom, and most of the time I have found that it has been an invitation for other people to feel free too. Like I will dust the passenger seat off of my car so you have a comfortable place to sit. But you seeing that the back of it is still a zoo, I pray to God, whenever you give me a ride, you don't feel like you have to sweat and clean your car mm-hmm. to like present a certain way for me yeah. because I would like to push your clothes off your passenger seat and sit down too. You know? So it's like, I really so far have found that it's been really freeing mm-hmm. and in a weird way has kind of like skipped over maybe a little bit of that like small talk phase of friendship because like we're not pretending, you know, like
yeah,
we're just, there's a little bit less pretending going on.
Yeah. No, I love that. I remember, and I've probably shared this story on the podcast, but it was a gal I know, and she was at one of those play dates where you're just meeting people for the first time and yeah. everyone has their babies. And this gal next to her, a Cheerio fell on the ground and she was so nervous, or like a goldfish, I don't know, something fell okay. on the ground. And she was so nervous, like, oh gosh, is she going to think X, Y, and Z about me? And the gal reaches over and picks the goldfish up and eats it off the ground. And she's okay. like, that's my person. Like,
yeah,
you're in a conversation. You don't really care about the things. These certain things don't matter to you.
Yeah.
We can be friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would say for a long time, when I was like trying to meet women, and I would say most of my life, if they were probably doing this because this was their perception of me. Like, right, it's just a big fat game. But they probably would have not eaten the goldfish off the ground. And then I would have felt pressure to be like, getting onto my kids, don't eat that goldfish. We believe in the 5-second rule, you know? And it's like, no, we don't. We don't. And you just like, it's just going nowhere, you know? Mm-hmm. And then obviously, you know, a couple months in, then finally you break through. But it's like, I think what has helped me so much is just being like, be brave, go first, and then I feel like that's where you can really like connect. You can connect better that way.
Yeah. I think it's good. You shared some challenges, some strengths. But like, really, we're all made in God's image. We all represent him in some way. And so, I don't know, I think what you just described, like that authenticity and vulnerability kind of invites others in to do the same. And I don't know, that feels like Jesus to me. I don't know. Feels like it. Like there's some safety there of I'm not hiding all of what's hard for me. So yeah, I love that. Any last things you want to say of mom listening who's a type C mom, who maybe she feels shameful or tired or like she's not measuring up to the standard that she's comparing herself to, which we've told her not to, but she might still be.
Yeah. I mean, this is so silly, but you are in fantastic company because I truly do wish every time I got a DM of people saying how much they are type C mom, I could print it out, put it in an envelope with a couple cute stickers and then mail it to every single person. And so you could see the sheer amount of us who are in the same situation. Like, not to bring numbers into it, but we're talking millions, like millions of people have said, oh my gosh, this is me. Oh my gosh, I feel so seen. Oh my gosh, do you have cameras in my house? And I honestly, just knowing that we're all in this together, we are all like holding what's important and trying our very best to like let go of the things that truly don't matter and be present for the moments we'd like to be present for and, you know, fill in the blank. Like, we're all doing it together. I also kind of do believe very few people are truly type A and truly type B. You know, I do think we're all a pretty good mix.
And like you mentioned, especially in this season.
Especially. As a mom.
Yeah, we're kind of stretched. Whatever version we are has been stretched in some way.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think like in moments when it's like really tough, I just came out of a season of my husband working till like 10, 11 p.m.
Oh, yes, girl.
For months, and it was dark.
That's when I saw a counselor. That's a little really hard. Too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
there's no shame in that either.
Yeah.
Good perspective. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It saved me truly. Mm-hmm. I just remember like it being like 4 o'clock. Everything was getting a little sticky at my home, like physically, but also like emotionally, primarily emotionally. And I just remember thinking like, I'm imagining a neighborhood of a million moms and they're all taking the same deep breath and shutting off that overhead fan because it's overstimulating us. You know, like we're all doing it. We're all in this together. Yeah. And nobody's house is like spick and span and they're like super at peace with everything. You know what I mean? Like we're all doing it together. And there's just such a comfort in knowing that you're not alone. You're truly not alone.
You're not alone. No. Even if that enemy wants to sneak in and say, all the other moms have it all together. And the only reason it's hard right now is because you didn't X, Y, and Z. It's like, nope.
Yeah. No way.
Not true. Oh, Ashley, I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for your voice out in the world to this generation of moms particularly, and that you have a new podcast, which you want to tell them where to find it. We'll put links in the show notes.
Sure. It's called The Ashley Surratt Show. It's on pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc. And it's essentially, it's just this. It's talking about the hilarious, the heartbreaking, the practical, the spiritual, just how it all kind of fits it together. So yeah, you're invited to hang out. I consider my podcast like my close friend's story. So yes, but Heather, thank you so much. This conversation has been life-giving for me. And I also will never forget the fact that you said your kids do their own laundry. I think that's fantastic.
There's hope.
I'm holding on to that. There's hope.
There's hope.
I'm living with hope.
What you're experiencing right now is not forever. And that's, it's hard to believe when you're in it. It feels like this will be my forever, especially when you just keep having kids. But yeah, it's hard. And when you do, thank you for sharing all the vulnerable parts. Again, that's why we love you. And like the hard seasons of trying to make new friends in a new place, of having a husband who works a lot, like those are the real. And again, if you're listening and that's you, like you're not the only person. And then it is challenging, and find people who are real with you about those challenges. And
yeah,
don't do it alone because you're not alone. Okay. Ashley, you're precious. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Heather.
And thank you, baby.
What's baby's name? She was saying goodbye. Her name's Ruby.
Oh my goodness, look at your eyes. Okay. Thank you, Ruby.
Bye. Ruby, you guys say bye, girl.
I think this episode would be such a perfect one for a podcast club, even if you just meet one time with some friends, maybe once the holidays pass. I know my calendar is filling up, but maybe you just make plans in January. Hey, let's listen to this episode and get together and talk about it, especially if you're in this same phase that Ashley's in. There's so much going on that demands your constant attention. So I love the questions we have for our podcast club leaders. Of course, do you consider yourself type A, B, or C? Kind of sharing systems that work for you that simplify your routine or catch-all spaces. And then really talking through what is most important for you. And this is not like, oh, that's important to you, that's not important to me. There's like a ranking of importance, but just really recognizing your priorities as a mom and kind of confessing like where we've been striving and not resting in God's richness for us right where we are, and letting go of that ideal picture. So I'm going to pray over us. Lord, I thank you so much for Ashley. I thank you for her vulnerability and willingness to share, even share about her challenges in making friends in a new place and how so many women can relate to that. I pray over whoever's listening that if they are feeling those similar things, that they would take the risk of reaching out and inviting someone or hosting something or just meeting up with someone at a park and starting those vulnerable connections that we're going to get them through hard seasons. And I just thank you for her wise words about your kingdom and all that you have for us, and letting go of these idols of perfection that we can hold and hold ourselves to. I pray for freedom from that just strangles so much of the good things you have for us and enjoying our kids and enjoying right where we are, and just resting in your perfection, and then we don't have to be that is such a good word for all of us. I pray that you would help us hold on to these things as we go into the holidays, that we wouldn't feel the pressure based on what we see other people doing to do those as well if they don't matter to us, and to miss out on the simple moments of just, you know, enjoying one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, join me back here next week. I had a really honest and good conversation with longtime friend Jess Connolly, and I can't wait to share that with you. And with the podcast clubs, just to let you all know, it's not something we're committing you to like do and say you're going to meet every week. If you just want access to those questions, you just go to my website and go to the podcast club. I think it is heathermcfadden.com or don'tmomalone.com/podcast club. And you just sign up and you'll get access to our Facebook group and all those questions. Okay. I'll see you back here next week. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.